And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerd or She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerd or She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Join us this Saturday for an all-new episode of the Athletic NBA Show, Saturday Slam and Jam, hosted by me, Andrew Schlecht. I'll be joined by my co-hosts Alex Spears and many of the Athletic beat writers that you know and love. We will recap the week of the NBA, play some NBA trivia, and just overall talk about the league that we love most. So while you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee on Saturday morning, listen to Saturday Slam and Jam on the Athletic NBA Show.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up, bold, unfiltered, audacious predictions for the 2021 NBA playoffs. So let's get it. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy producing. In this corner, the Bay Area legend, new home owner, and author of two books about the Warriors dynasty, the one and only Marcus T. Nasty Thompson. Marcus, how's the new place?
You know how many people call me T. Nasty now all of a sudden? Come on, man. I feel like there's going to be like another Boogie Down. What was it? Boogie Nights? Part two, and I'm in it now.
Just wait, Marcus, until we do a live show in either San Francisco or Oakland, and I wear a T Nasty shirt. Yo, on stage.
Gotta stop this. People are really like taking this too far. Like, you know, I feel like I need to stock up on KY or something because everybody's calling me T Nasty. Like, I am not T Nasty. I am very clean. T clean.
T clean.
And in this corner, the one-man wrecking machine, part of the Headband Boys, hailing from the Bay State, the Old Colony State, the Codfish State, the Baked Bean State. Crying out loud, Jay King, what is it?
Jay Clean.
Why he ain't Jay Nasty? Why is the black man nasty and Jay gets to be clean? Why is that? Huh? Explain that to me.
Because he's wearing a headband.
Facts.
You're not wearing a headband.
I still can't believe we have these same headbands.
We have the same pack. We bought the same three pack. It's got a white one, a gray one, and a black one in there. It's fantastic. I've lost the other two, but I got the gray. I don't know where the other two are.
Hey, man.
But yeah, you need a headband, Marcus.
I lost one of them too. I forget which one. This is the only one I wear now, though.
The world is not black and white. It's gray. It's all about the gray areas.
There you go. Speaking of gray areas, Jade, start the clock. That transition didn't really make sense, but maybe we'll get some clarity. Tuesday night, the old Boston Celtics captured the number 7 seed with a 118-100 convincing win over the Washington Wizards. Jason Tatum exploded for 50 points. Perhaps a sign of things to come for this young fella? The Celtics will face the Brooklyn Nets in the first round of the NBA playoffs. That's right. The Nets, Jay King, the super team. The team that's ruined the Eastern Conference, maybe, if they're healthy. Thing, put it all together. Let's get right to it, boys, as this is a special bold predictions episode of Point of Contention because we're recording it before the West games on Wednesday night. Marcus, will the Nets win in 4 or 5 games, or could this get interesting?
Celtics in 5. Let's go.
What?
No. It sounded pretty good, though.
It sounded
you said bold predictions. I was like... I feel like a sweep is coming. I do. I feel like I think they defend just well enough to make their like their offense so potent, right? Like all they gotta do is get to 115. they defend well enough, and look at the way Boston won that game, right? You know, they slowed it down. They stopped the pace of Westbrook. They didn't let them dominate. Yeah, but I don't think they can do that against Harden and Kyrie. I don't know how they win a game. I'm sorry. Is that a bold prediction? Not really.
I don't see them winning really. A game. Yeah, that was maybe a strike through prediction, an underlying prediction, italics. It wasn't bold though. Jay,
nobody uses strike through, by the way. Like,
I use strike through all the time as I'm organizing things. Like, that's the way to go. It's also a good way to make a little joke on the old power rankings. Oh yeah, you got to use strike through. Absolutely. But Jason Tatum's been on a run. He's averaging like 30 a game over his last 19 games. If we count this play-in tournament game, he's shooting like 48% from the field, 41% from three. He is on fire, but is he enough to get this series interesting?
Absolutely not. I'll give you a bullet prediction though. He will score 45 points or more in a loss.
Oh, I like that.
The Celtics defense plummeted this season, and they fell basically to the 20th in the league. They lost Jaylen Brown. They had not enough wing defenders in the first place, and now they have to guard Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. It's not going to be at all a fair matchup. They are going to get destroyed. But I think for the Celtics, like, if Tatum shows growth and if Tatum can go toe to toe with those guys and get to the line and create good quality looks on the majority of his possessions, and I think that's a win. And obviously Kemba, like, Celtics would want to see him really produce, and they'll want to see some of the young guys do some things, but Tatum's development is more important than anything else for them, especially now that Jaylen Brown's out and this season has kind of become a wash.
Okay, so the other part of the Eastern Conference playoffs to still be determined is the 8 seed. The Hornets are done because the Pacers put it on them. My goodness, where's the Pacers just won't die, and we're all sick of watching them at this point. But they did it without Miles Turner, without TJ Warren, without Caris LeVert, still put up 140-plus on the Hornets, so they will face the Wizards. Marcus, can Russell Westbrook save the day? He was awful against the Celtics.
Nah, this is playoff basketball, right?
Uh-oh.
This is playoff level basketball. It's you know, can he have a good game against the Pacers? Absolutely, but he's got to make shots, man. And that's just the bottom line. Everybody's gonna make Russ make shots. Period. Like, that's the game plan. Make him make shots. When he's off, like he was last game, they don't really have a shot. Now, it's the part Westbrook has to figure out is he doesn't have to make 20 of them. Just make two. Make your first two. Take simple shots. He's just giving up on the little. Remember, I used to run full speed, stop on a dime, pull. That's his shot. He's not even taking it anymore. Hit a couple of those and he'll be fine. But I do think, though, Bradley Beal is going to be set up for a pretty good game. Ooh. I do feel like this is a game Bradley Beal can get off. I like distributor, rebounding, attacking the basket, smart shot Westbrook. He doesn't need to take 20 shots.
So do his coaches.
He doesn't need to take 20 shots. He just doesn't need to take 20 shots. And he's trying to, like, fight a narrative. I don't know what he's doing, but if he just chill out, man, like, he's
so,
gotta relax.
So what's more likely, Jay? Is it that Bradley Beal's hamstring is good enough for him to have a big performance against Indiana? Or that Westbrook once again shows up dressed like an extra from Biker Boys?
I think Beal's going to have a big game. I think it's a much better matchup for the Wizards. Like, they just do not have the wing defenders to stick with Tatum. They had Bertans on him at times, and it's like, good luck with that, guys. Have fun with Bertans switching out on a Tatum and trying to guard him ISO. That was never going to
work. That's what the money's for, Jay.
Yep. It's okay. At least he went over 7-2. At least he was 1-for-8 from the field.
Bertans group. But yeah, I expect the Wizards to win this one. Although I also expected the Hornets to beat up on the Pacers.
And right.
That just shocked me. The Pacers played no one. They had hardly anyone available and just rolled them. So sometimes it's okay to hit your coach and still get wins.
Is Miles Turner coming back?
No, I think he's done. He's done. Karras is done. Like, Karras, I think it's, yeah.
So, yeah.
DJ Warren's still out for
the year. I don't know. They might have a shot. They might have
They won't die.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. All right, speaking of things that won't die, take two. I've waited all year for this. Oh, baby, it's on. The Miami Heat versus the Milwaukee Bucks. It's Christmas as far as I'm concerned. This is the NBA Finals right here. Giannis, the Nigerian freak versus Jimmy Buckets, Heat culture. Ah, as Jimmy Butler would say, I'm so fucking locked in right now, Jade. That's right, Jay King, as you recall last year, the Heat
I need a Bucks win more
made
than anything.
Quick work of the Bucks. I mean, I don't even know if the Bucks actually showed up to the bubble based on how they played against the Heat. Toss them out in the second round. How'd they even get to the second round if the Heat made such easy work this year? But the Bucks look more poised. They added Drew Holiday. They got PJ Tucker. And what's that? Coach Bud experimenting with lineups? As of now, Giannis is healthy. He's not bowing out against the Heat just yet. So, Jay, you get one shot. Just one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow this opportunity. It only comes once in a lifetime. So, Jay King.
This is the Bucks second chance.
Heat.
This is the second chance.
Who you got?
Bucks in seven.
I believe this year.
I believe last year, and they were frauds. They did not deserve my support. This is what they've been waiting for. They wanted the Heat. Giannis has been waiting for this matchup. He signed the Mega Max. He thinks his franchise is ready to compete. They went out and got Drew Holiday, who, let's face it, is the biggest upgrade over Eric Bledsoe, especially come playoff time. Bledsoe's fine during the regular season. Really good defender. Cannot put pressure on a defense in a playoff series. So that's huge. And then PJ Tucker is just tough as nails. Mm-hmm. And you need that against Bam. You need that against Jimmy. You need that against a Heat team that just doesn't really crack.
Yeah, it's so underrated having a 6'3" power forward. It's just,
I think
it's
they're different. Yeah. The only thing that, not the only thing, one of the things that gives me pause, Spoelstra versus Budenholzer is a tough one. That's a tough one. Based on playoff track record with Budenholzer and playoff track record for Spoelstra, that is about as big a gap as you can get in playoff coaching. And I'm a little nervous about that, but I'm still very, very confident. Bucks in seven.
Wow. This is my year. Marcus, I really respect the addition of Drew Holiday. Like, I do. I think that is a huge difference maker in this matchup. It's why I'm saying Heat in six instead of Heat in five, because I respect Drew Holiday. I respect the addition there. But Marcus, who do you have? Be the tiebreaker here between Heat and Bucks, me and Jay.
I'm winning and losing. I'm so torn on this one. Like, I'm
cream versus culture.
Part of me is like, the Bucks aren't about this life. Budenholzer is not about this life. He's not ready to go 101 with Spo. Like, we know this. But the other part of me is like, no way is this the end for Giannis. No way. Because if Giannis loses in the first round to the Heat, are you kidding me? If Giannis loses
after
in the
they
first
went out and
round,
gave up 17 first round picks for Drew Holiday,
no,
too.
If he, no way. This can't happen to Giannis. So I'm picking the Bucks because this can't happen to Giannis. It can't. I'm not imagining a world where Giannis goes out like this. I can't. I'm with you. I thought Jay was in trouble last year when he picked balls. I was like, Jay, don't do this.
He didn't just pick them.
He laughed at me.
I think after the first quarter, I took a victory lap. The first quarter of game one, I took a victory lap.
Second round.
And then it was a blowback.
Second round, I'm picking the Heat. I'm going to lean on this postseason for me is about desperation. Who's the most desperate? Who's the most hungry and desperate? I can't see Giannis going out like that. Mirren Fader, my homie, has a book coming out on him. Like, you can't. This is how he was built. He was built for this. He's going to show up. This is Giannis. I'm sorry. I can't envision Giannis going out like that.
I think Holiday and Tucker, like, they just needed that toughness.
That was a team that didn't believe in itself.
And now Holiday and Tucker are there, and, like, they're just badasses.
Exactly.
And they needed that badass who's just going to go at Jimmy, go at Bam, go at Goran, go at everybody. They're a different team this year.
You know what the Heat did this year? They did some real 4D chess stuff here. Jimmy Butler didn't play in any of the games against Philly, any games against Brooklyn, and any of the games against Milwaukee this season. We think that was a coincidence. I mean, some of it was like Jimmy Butler caught COVID. But other than that, Marcus, this is chess over, like, not even checkers, like Candyland. Chutes and ladders. Like, that's what Mike Boonholzer is playing here. And Eric Spoelstra is out here looking like Bobby Fischer, looking like the Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, throwing another.
Do you have any other chess references?
No, I don't know anybody else. Lawrence Fishburne at one point in the movie, I think, was good. I don't know.
I just feel like this is the year where them dudes say, Mike, we love you. We respected what you've done. But have a seat, buddy. We got this. We're not doing this again. We're not going to let you not do anything. And Drew is so good, man. He's been there before. Yeah.
Drew's amazing.
Like, I think it's like Jay saying. I think Giannis is looking around the room and he's got some dogs with him. And I think now Budenholzer is going to have to, like, yo, here's what we're doing. And he's going to have to just eat it. He can't.
Now, when you say Drew's been there before, you mean the second round?
Yes.
Because I think that's as far as he's gotten. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whereas the Heat have been in the finals.
He took Damian Lillard's soul one year.
He did. No, he didn't. He took CJ McCollum's soul. He took Terry Stotts' soul.
You want me to look up what Dame did in that series? Or you want to just move on to the next topic?
Let's go to Dame's numbers. You don't take the soul from a dude from Oakland. It just don't happen. It just don't happen. What everything around Dame crumbled, but no, Dame's soul is intact, baby.
Hold on, just let me check. Let me check real quick there, because I do think you're right. I think you're right there. You know, he did. He didn't really hurt Dame too much, other than he shot 35%, scored 18 a game.
Yeah, because he had nobody around him. Of course, when you can triple team him and all that.
I think the problem is he had Drew Holiday around him. I think that's the issue.
Soul's intact,
playoff Rondo.
Yeah, that's what it was. Come on.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was playoff Rondo. Yeah, you're right. Okay. speaking of repping your city, take three. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever. And that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
for the first time in 9 years. Hit me with that 9 times from Ferris Bueller.
9 times.
9 times.
We will witness a Knicks playoff game as they take on Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. BetMGM has them as the favorites to win this series. The Knicks won all 3 games against the Hawks in the regular season. Julius Randle pounded them for 40, 44, and just a little 28-point game in that set. Knicks also held teams to the lowest points per game in the league. They had one of the best defenses in the league. Tom Thibodeau, the defensive genius, has this team locked and loaded. So, Marcus, will the Knicks take this series? And if so, how far can they go in the playoffs?
Wait, who are they playing again?
The Hawks.
Can they take the series? Come on. Hey, Knicks, Nets. Hold on. Where do they face the Nets? Second round?
They would have to face them in the conference finals.
Knicks, Nets, Eastern Conference Finals.
That's what?
I'm calling it right now.
Now, is this, wait, hold on. Is this like when you pick the Suns to win it all? Or is this like
when you pick the Celtics to
beat the Nets in five? Which prediction is this like?
This is Suns.
Okay.
Listen.
Knicks in the conference finals.
Don't we deserve this? Haven't we earned a chance for Madison Square Garden to be lit again? Like you're right. There's nothing great about the Knicks.
No, I mean, look, I think they're gonna win the series, but I like conference finals.
Here's the problem with the Knicks. I want to really hype the Knicks, right? I want them to be great. But what are these young dudes going to do in the playoffs, right? When they get some real heat on them, like, I don't know if they can hold up. We saw, like,
the same goes for the Hawks, though.
Yeah, Hawks are done. Knicks are beating the Hawks. I'm trying to figure out how far they're going. They're going to beat the Hawks. I don't think the Hawks can handle it. I really don't.
Capella? Playoff Gallo?
I've seen playoff Capella and playoff
Gallo. Revenge series for Gallo? You know? That's a former Knick right there.
Them dudes are... They're so physical. They are so chaotic. They're useful. That will help them against the Hawks. I just don't know if the Hawks can defend well enough. Like, what do they do on Randle? I'm not sure. And, you know, the Hawks got a few places you can attack. Right, Hawks got just a few places, and the play, because playoffs are all about matchups, right? So it's like, yo, who we picking on? And with the Hawks, you got a few places to go. But I do think for the long run, Knicks, some of these guys are going to have to hit some big shots, and they've never been in a spot before, right? Like, who's dropping 50?
But they're just not offensively minded players. Like, Julius Randle has been spectacular. There is very little shooting around him. There is very little. I mean, Derrick Rose is a fine point guard, but there's not like a top shelf playmaker around him. They just don't have the offensive creation to get past the second round. But I have them beating the Hawks too. I think they won't rough up Trae, but they'll give Trae like a welcome to the playoffs type thing, because that defense is real. That defense is long, athletic, can switch a lot, has just a lot of guys to throw at Trae Young. And it's funny because Knicks fans have been, you know, all about Elfrid Payton shouldn't be on the court. He shouldn't be in the starting lineup. Now they get to the playoffs.
He shouldn't be.
Elfrid on Trae is a pretty good matchup. That's a pretty good guy to defend him.
I think it'll be a great year for the Knicks, Sixers, like, second round. You show up for the Sixers. You lose, but you just show up. You're respectable. I feel like that's a great year for the Knicks.
Did you guys see Thibodeau get asked who's the best team in New York?
No. What'd he say?
It was probably my favorite clip. He took a pause and was just kind of like, you know, I got to go with my guys. And I thought he was going to start screaming, man. Thought he was going to be like, we got fucking Elfrid Payton. We got Mitchell Robinson. Have you seen what Julius Randle is doing? Bitch, we're the Big 15. We are the New York Knicks. But he was kind of low-key about it. He was kind of low-key about it.
He was low-key. He wasn't quite that. He wasn't talking about Reggie Bullock, right?
Yeah, and he said he had to go with his guys. I don't think he believed it, but he said
he should have just said, we're the best team in Manhattan. He would have won.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right. Take 4. Speaking of losing your voice, Kawhi
that's
Leonard.
That's a pretty good tips, though, by the way.
I appreciate that.
That's legit.
We should have saved it for the end of the pod because I don't know if James' voice can handle these last two subjects. But
I'm done.
Day four, Kawhi versus Luka, round two for the second year in a row. The Clippers and the Mavs will square off. Last year's series was memorable for sure. Marcus Morris was ejected after slapping Luka over the head on a layup attempt. I believe Montrezl Harrell, who's no longer with the Clippers, called Luka a bitch-ass white boy at one point. We had Luka averaged 31 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He hit a buzzer beater, step back three to win game four in overtime. Jade, play the tape.
Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer! Let's go!
Meanwhile, the Clippers, questions of team chemistry, being able to finish in the fourth, and Paul George, they're all still on the table. So, Jay, who you got and how many games between the Mavs and the Clips?
Before I get into that, I just want to say the whole bitch-ass white boy thing was the most overplayed fake drama of all time.
I loved it.
Who hasn't been called a bitch-ass white boy on a basketball court? If you play and you're what?
I was about to say.
It's either that or you're hot and like they call you Peja Stojakovic or Steve
Jimmer.
Nash.
Jimmer.
Or like whoever's a shooter. Yeah. Now they probably call the guys like Duncan Robinson and stuff. Yeah. But back in my day, it was like Peja Stojakovic or Steve Nash. Mm-hmm. That was Jim when Less. I knew I was hot.
Jim Less. Tim Legler. Yeah, they call you one of those guys.
Rex Chapman.
Kyle Korver.
Yeah, Korver. That's all.
Yeah.
Shane Heal.
But I think.
So you're saying it's a compliment? You're saying it's like a term of endearment?
No, absolutely not a term of endearment. But it's not like a big deal to get called a bitch-ass white boy. Like, I expect to get called a bitch-ass white boy if I'm playing basketball.
Marcus, call him one right now. Call him one right now.
I don't think it's a term of endearment.
Do it.
And I'm endeared to Jay, so I will not.
I'm a bitch-ass white boy.
Well, it's so fun if you 8-mile yourself.
I've done it before. I actually think the Clippers could be in trouble here. I am very much in the minority on that. But when Luka was healthy last season, he gave them the absolute business. And they had nothing they could do with him. Now he hurt his ankle. And he wasn't the same in the latter half of that series. And the Mavericks flopped and got booted out of the playoffs. But when he was right, there was absolutely nothing even Kawhi and Paul George could do with him. And I still think the Clippers will win the series, but I think it's a lot closer than a lot of people expect.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Marcus, does it feel a little bit like the Clippers have been forgotten now? Because I don't feel like anyone's talking about them as a contender this year at this point, even though like Ty Lue has changed the offense quite a bit. They do have a better, more well-rounded roster if Serge Ibaka is healthy. Like they've done some things. Rondo came in, he's going to be the veteran off the bench. Like they've done some things, but I feel like no one's taking the Clippers that seriously.
I mean, does it help that they kind of said, yeah, we don't want to play the Lakers in the I mean,
neither did Denver.
Yeah, so I do feel like they're flying under the radar. You know what? I think that's good for them. I really do think that's good for them. They clearly do not bode well as, you know, the gorillas, right? Beat their chest. We're better than everybody. They need to be the sneak this team, right? I wonder about their ability to defend Luka. I think they should be able to. I don't think they took them that serious. I really don't think they were up for the matchup. Did we see at any point Kawhi like, all right, I'm about to take this dude away? And I don't know if he still can, by the way, for a whole game. I don't know if Kawhi still has the body for it, if his body can hold up. But he used to be a guy who's like, I'm just going to take this dude away. I think they spent too much time trying to be stars, right? Trying to hit big shots and get all this, and they got played. The Dallas's problem is defense. And the real answer to Luka is to make him guard. And they have the dudes to make him guard. So it should be attack Luka, attack Luka, attack Luka, attack Luka. And see if, you know, if he can handle that. And they have the guys to do it. I'm imagining a world where Ty Lue is like, we're not going to let this guy do us like that again. Again, my theme for the playoffs, desperation. Nobody more desperate than if the Clippers lose the first round series, like blow it up. Ballmer's like, I'm done. Like
Kawhi may leave.
Kawhi's like, yo, what? I'm not.
He could be a free agent.
What are we doing here, right? What am I doing here? Paul George, make your way to the Warriors, right? Like this is it. This is the last hurrah right here.
Were either of you guys personally offended that the Clippers tanked the last few games?
I thought it was smart. Get out of the Lakers bracket? That's what told me they were ready. That's what told me they were about their life. Like, okay, this Checkers, this is Queen's Gambit. You know what I'm saying? This ain't, hey, what's the Checkers movie? Is there no Checkers movie?
There's Checkers.
There should
movie.
Be a Checkers
there's movie. There's a Battleship movie. I know that. There is no Checkers movie, though.
This is Queen's Gambit. This ain't insert Checkers movie. I thought it was smart. I wouldn't want to see LeBron first either.
Yeah, I mean, do either of you trust Paul George at this point? Because obviously the talent is amazing. His production is really good.
We're not doing this.
What do you mean? What do you mean we're not doing this?
Why are we not doing this?
Because the Paul George slander has got to stop. It's got to stop.
He shot it off the side of the backboard.
Okay, we all make mistakes. Like, what are
we
talking
about?
He had
more turnovers than made shots in game 7.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared. No, but listen, man, he had mental health issues. Like, he had anxiety. Like, come on. It's not Powell on the guy.
Right, but he also didn't mention those after the good games.
Nah, he didn't. Paul George, like, went into, like, a deep, like, find himself offseason. This is not the same Paul George from the bubble.
He blamed the 50-point loss this year on playing on Christmas. You know who else played on Christmas? The team that beat them by 50.
Yes. And look at them ever since then.
Like,
this is the year Paul George. I'm telling you, desperation produces... Okay.
All right. So you think Paul George went out of that playoffs last year and it was like LeBron after after
the 2011 finals.
After he got beat by the Mavericks or like Dirk after they got beat by the We Believe Warriors.
Man, this Paul George
resurrected Rocky in the woods.
To be fair, Dirk was just afraid of Steven Jackson. That's all that was.
I don't know if it was just Steven Jackson. There was a bunch of dudes.
Okay,
The We Believe Warriors was ready to jump you, like on the court and off. That wasn't the 101.
All right.
So Jay, hold on. Are you piling on Paul George with Zach?
I'm not piling on Paul George.
Whoa, who's piling on? I'm just asking if we trust him.
I'm not piling on Paul George, but I'm not ready to say like he is the most trustworthy figure in a playoff series.
Yeah, I didn't even mention that he's been completely outplayed in playoff series by Will Barton in elimination games and Joe Ingles in elimination. I didn't mention any of that stuff. I haven't mentioned any of the times where he has just absolutely gotten obliterated in elimination games. I didn't mention any of that stuff.
That was Pandemic P. That's a whole different person.
The problem is
now we're back to playoff P.
Playoff P wasn't much better, man.
No playoff P either. We're not It's a whole new iteration.
All right. What about playoff Dame time? Take 5. Lillard versus Jokic. Staying in the West. Let's take a look at the 3-6 matchup. The Denver Nuggets, led by imminent MVP Nikola Jokic, versus Dame Time's Trail Blazers, one of the worst defensive teams, not just in the league, in NBA history. But they win, unlike the Sacramento Kings, so we give them a little bit of a pass there. Last time these two faced off, 2019 playoffs, it took 7 games, including a 140-137 4 overtime game 3, which the Blazers ended up winning. Jade, play the tape.
Baseball pass, Millsap. Picked off by McCollum, and it's finally over. The Blazers win it in 4 overtimes. They take a 2-1 lead.
Both teams have overcome injuries all season. Marcus, we all know this is your boy's time. So who you got and how many games?
Blazers in six.
What?
Yeah, if it gets to what? If it gets to seven in Denver, I gotta go with Jokic in that scenario.
Has his soul back.
It's been adequately pointed out that the Blazers Drew defense gave it back to him. Is atrocious, but Denver's defense isn't great. Michael Porter Jr. is a scary figure. If he if he looks the way he's looked in the regular season since Jamal Murray's going down in the playoffs, it might be curtains. Like, that's the second guy they need, right? That's the guy they can at least. That's a pretty lethal. I wonder how lethal of a PNR that'll be in the playoffs with those two just running a two man game. It's got some potential because that dude, when he elevates and his shot is on, like you can't get to that shot. But come on, man, we're talking Dame here. We're talking Dame Dollar. We're talking Dame Time. You know what I'm saying? And I do worry about how will they guard CJ McCollum. Like, you got to deal with the Dame problem. But if you remember that last series, last time they played, it was
Faku's gonna be on Dame.
He gotta be on Dame. Yeah. The last series when they went seven, it was CJ who torched them, especially in that game seven. Dame was exhausted, and it was like CJ just one on one. I don't know if they have a solution to that problem, and I wonder if they'll be able to match it. Norman Powell, Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, Carmelo Anthony—they got a lot of weapons. I don't know if Denver can outscore them, and I don't know if Denver's defense is good enough to literally slow them down. It's going to be tight. It's going to come down to the end, and we're going to get like Dame doing something crazy in game six to prevent a game seven. Book it. Desperation. Terry Stotts' job on the line. Desperation, baby. This is the postseason desperation playoffs.
Jay, let's say Yusuf Nurkic gets into foul trouble. Then what do the Blazers do against Jokic? I don't know that they'll have anything to do against Jokic in the first place.
What's Nurkic going to do?
But look, Enes Kanter from Nurkic to Enes Kanter?
What is Nurkic going to do?
Enes Kanter, this is a good matchup for Enes Kanter because they have no pick and roll.
Real quick, can I tell you, guard. I got an email.
This is a good matchup for Enes Kanter.
Can I tell you, I got an email the day after the ballots were due in which it said, when the initial ballots went out, Enes Kanter had not been eligible for six man. He is now eligible for six man. If you want to change your vote, like, I don't.
Want I to mean, what? How do you not change your vote?
But this is my favorite playoff series because I have no idea what's going to happen. I think in some ways this is a good matchup for the Blazers because when you look at their defense, like where they're weakest is the backcourt, and the Nuggets backcourt just isn't going to punish you at all. But then on the other hand, it's like Jokic is going to punish you. And Jokic is going to force switches, and he's going to put you in all sorts of bad situations.
Torture.
Michael Porter Jr. hasn't missed a shot basically since Jamal Murray got injured. He's just been an offensive savant basically his whole life, but certainly the last couple of months. I'm nervous for him about how he's going to hold up against Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Those guys are going to target him ruthlessly. Like, Jokic isn't even the target anymore. It is Michael Porter Jr. And I don't know what the Nuggets are going to do to hide him, even though he's defended a little better this season. But I just think at the end of the day, Dame is better than almost every player in the league. Like, there's only a handful of guys that are better than Dame. Jokic is one of them, and that's why I favor the Nuggets in this one.
I have concerns about the Nuggets depth, just in case. Like, Will Barton, I think, will be back in this series, but I don't know how that's going to look with his hamstring. Right, yeah, like he's dealing with a hamstring injury, and so I don't know what that means for him. But if they're down Jamal and Will Barton, like, you will need just historic performances from Jokic and MPJ every single game, which they can get. Like, that
plus
can still
Monty
happen.
Morris, I think, will be a big factor too. Like,
I love him. I love him. Absolutely. I think he could have a big series. Yeah. But yeah, like, that backcourt depth is pretty weak. That wing depth is pretty weak. Does Aaron Gordon have a matchup he can exploit with his defense? Like, you're not going to put him on either of the guards and have him survive, but also he can play a little, you know, free safety there. So maybe that
can
that
we just
helps.
Get a Derrick Jones, Aaron Gordon dunk contest at halftime?
No, because then Aaron Gordon's going to complain, like, I didn't get enough 50s. That's why I wear number 50. Even though Zach Levine took your lunch. Zach Levine took your soul. Catch an alley-oop from the free throw line. Then you can talk, Aaron Gordon. Oh, I pushed off a mascot. Who cares?
What's special about this matchup is, like, we know it's going to be. It feels like it's going to be a close series, right? And we literally will be watching two of the most, like, clutch players.
Yeah, go back.
Like, it could be, it could go down bucket for bucket in this thing, right? Like,
every game down to the wire, I hope, just because these two, watching Jokic operate, watching Dame operate, that, like Dame's the most clutch player in the league.
So many big shots, yo. These games are like, it's going to be nonstop, man. Jokic doesn't hit the rim when it's clutch, it feels like. Mm-mm. It feels like it's like he's Clay on a turnaround one footer when the game was like, this dude is crazy. And then you got, I'm hype about this one.
If Jamal Murray had been healthy, the Nuggets, I would have given them a realistic chance of winning a title this year. They would have been that good.
Y'all got tricked. Y'all got tricked.
Come on, Jay.
I'm telling you. The Lakers are vulnerable. The Nets have no defense.
You said the and same Jokic shit about the Bucks and the Heat mastermind. Last year. And you know what? Damian Lillard is so fucking locked in like he's Jimmy Butler.
He can't wait to win. Is this your next call?
No, here's what I did is I got bullied into taking the Blazers in seven on the basket bud. So here I'm going Nuggets in six. See, now I've hedged my bets. I can't be wrong. I've got both teams. That's how you do it. And then you know what? On NBA radio, I'll just say, I don't think either of them get past the second round, so it doesn't matter. So now, you know, I've covered all my bases across all platforms. Dame versus Jokic, me versus Jay, Bucks Heat, Jimmy Butler, culture. Jay, you're not ready for this culture. You weren't ready last year. You're not ready this year. This is
season, boys. The Budenholzer redemption tour. You're right. You know who's it desperate? Budenholzer. Mike Budenholzer. Desperation
season. He better be.
We'll see his ass in an unemployment line pretty soon. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Point of Contention right here on the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on the Athletic and subscribe for crying out loud. Go culture.
Sick headband, bro.
Yo, where my headband at, y'all? Well, I don't get one.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.